Welcome to Christians Living in the Real World podcast, where certified coach Jannie Burke explores real world issues in light of God's real word. If you desire to take every thought captive to the Lord in this upside down crazy world we're living in, you have come to the right place. Let's get started. Well, hello, my friends. Welcome to Christians Living in the Real World, Episode 5. Hey, before we begin, I want to give a big shout out to our friends in Europe.
God bless you. Keep you. May the Lord empower you.
Podcast downloads are in European countries, and 8% of all downloads are coming from the Ukraine. So please, let me speak directly to you. My dear Ukrainian brothers and sisters in Christ, please know that I am praying that the evil massacre of your beautiful people, your beautiful country, comes to an end. Since the beginning, it is just hard to imagine that one man's selfish ambition could cause such horror in what is supposed to be a civilized world. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you and empower you to lean into Him every moment of every day. This evil is not of Him. He hates it even more than we all do, and He loves you, and we love you. So please, please stay strong in the Lord. All right. We are in part 3 of a 4-part series called What Do You Think About? We've talked about what do you think about God? What do you think about Satan? I just want to take a moment to remind you why we are drilling down on this theme. To sum it up, Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." In the context of that passage, it's referring to a man who says, "Yes, go ahead, eat," but his thoughts are really stingy in counting the cost. And see, that's the sneaky thing about our thoughts. No one can see them but ourselves, and of course, the Lord. And yet, while our thoughts are not literally visible to others, they still show up in the results of our lives, don't they? As Scripture says, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." Because our thoughts lead to our feelings. Our feelings create our actions, and our actions, of course, or inactions, write the story of our lives. So, today we are focusing on the question, what do you think, literally, think about yourself and others? And I was going to separate those two topics, but the more I prayed about it, I realized the answers are usually not all that different. So let's begin with what you think about yourself. And I'm going to warn you today, I am firmly wearing my coach's hat. If you've ever had an effective coach, you're aware they don't mince words. They're not going to tell you that you're doing great when in plain sight they see a path for you to break through. A good coach is going to bring you the truth, point out the blind spots, and then really it's up to you to take the proverbial ball and run with it, right? So if you tuned in today for the purpose of being told you're perfect right where you are, let me just allow you to, you know, click off now. Let me spare you the next 20 minutes or so. Okay, so what do you think about yourself? Okay, if we're honest, we think about ourselves a lot. So much of it is unconscious thought. So much of it is negative. Almost all of it is repetitive, creating those neural pathways that eventually train our brain to believe certain thoughts, even when they're not true. We've talked about this in the past in general terms, but again, today we want to think about your thoughts about yourself. Ladies, we have all the thoughts, don't we? I feel so stupid. I can't let go of my past. God cannot forgive me. I'm not lovable. I'm too heavy. Seriously, I know women well into their 80s who are thin and still worried about their weight. Round and round and round we go in our minds. I was raised in a blended family. My father died in a car accident when I was just 7 days old. My mom was a 28-year-old widow with a newborn and an 18-month-old. She did eventually remarry when I was almost 5. He was also widowed and had 5 children, all older than my sister and I. And, I mean, of course, we all know seven isn't enough. So they had two more for that lovely nine number. Needless to say, it was nonstop activity. I often wonder how my mom kept her sanity. I mean, she had been an only child. I can't imagine the dramatic difference. So let me just tell you, there were a lot of strong personalities in that household. Loud, quiet, funny, those that wish they were, competitive, peacekeepers, angry, bitter. I mean, the whole shebang. I just remember just literally feeling lost at times, almost invisible, just trying to figure out who I was in the mix. And of course, how we think about ourselves in our home environment is how it shows up out in the world. In fact, this is almost embarrassing to admit. I remember in junior high, I did a little experiment with my two best friends. The three of us were inseparable at the time. Typical eighth grade girls who were emboldened, you know, by your friendships, because the truth was we were also insecure on our own. And I decided one day I wasn't going to say anything until someone noticed. I mean, as in literally, no talking until someone realized that I had not spoken. In my little insecure pea brain, I told myself no one cares what I have to say, and they wouldn't even notice if I was silent. First of all, oh my word, who does this? I look back on my young self and I think, what were you thinking? Anyway, unfortunately, I kind of proved myself right. I was kind of quiet anyway. But in hindsight, I now know that I've always been drawn to strong leadership type personalities. Not because I was one, but because I so wanted to be one of them. And my friends, Jane and Christy, I mean, honestly, they were at the top of the junior high food chain in terms of personality and popularity. I have no idea why they let me tag along, but they did. So for two full days, I said nothing. It was not until the end of day two in our last class when one of them casually looked at me and said, "You okay? You haven't said much today." Didn't even notice I'd said nothing the day before. In playing such a silly game, my brain engaged its cognitive bias, looking for evidence that I was right, and created that dreaded story and outcome, because then I knew I was right. I mean, no one cared what I thought, meaning no one cared about me. See, it's a destructive path that our minds can take us down. Nothing could have been further from the truth. Fast forward. When I was in my late teens, I had convinced myself that I was too fat. Now, keep in mind, I'd been a varsity cheerleader. I was one very competitive tennis racquetball player. I was not fat. I was solid muscle. In fact, I remember I was playing intramural softball, and the boy that I had a crush on said, "Man, I bet you sure can knock it out of the park." It's not exactly what a teenage girl wants to hear from the boy she's pining after. So what did I do? I took control of the situation for the next 3 years, and I was very much anorexic before anyone ever even heard of the term. Karen Carpenter died right in that time frame from complications of anorexia, and it was only then that I realized that my behavior had a name and honestly some dire consequences if I didn't change something. So why do I tell you these two stories? Because if we're honest with ourselves, we still exhibit the same behaviors as adults. Maybe not so overtly, but then again, maybe. We have a thought that no one cares about us. So what do? We isolate, or we stop communicating with those that we love. And when they do not respond how we think they should, we conclude that they do not care about us or what we think. Clearly it's their fault, obviously. Or so our brain tells us. Or as in the second scenario, we try to control a situation, which often includes trying to control others, eventually harming both ourselves and our relationships, when the premise for our wanting to take control was based on a lie to begin with. This is what I'm talking about. We have such an enormous capacity to create mind drama that puts us in this victim role, like in some melodramatic screenplay we call our life. And remember what we talked about in the last episode. We have an enemy whose native tongue is the language of lies. This is all he knows. And this is all he wants you to believe in order to render you useless. So the question is, who are you telling yourself you are. And would you ever dream of speaking to others the way you talk to yourself? I mean, seriously, can you imagine? Listen, my sweet child, I mean, you can go ahead and try, but the truth is you're just never really going to amount to much. I mean, if you can just hold it together, kind of get through life without messing up too badly, we'll count that a win, okay? No, you would never say that to your child. And yet that's the thought package that we often settle for in our own lives. Believing it's completely up to us, we have limited capacity, and many believe that that's just as good as it gets. Well, I've got news for you, good news and bad news. You actually do have limited capacity. So do I. So does every other human being. It's an equal playing field. And yet that is where the Lord steps in and uses very ordinary people to do very extraordinary things. Who does God say you are? As I talk to Christians from every walk of life, the struggles are the same, and they are real. So let's take a look at the most common places where we get stuck or begin to spiral out. Let's take a look at the top five hits. Let's see what lyrics resonate with you, my friend. One, are you stuck in discouragement? Do you feel alone in your efforts, as though you're never going to get any real traction in all that you're trying to accomplish? Do you think you're doing your best, but you're still not making progress? Does that discouragement weigh you down? In like I said, it shows up in the rest of your life. It keeps you showing up from your best self. You know, it's interesting because some will say it's just too simple to combat these thoughts and feelings with Scripture. But what if that is our key weapon? He has provided us with a direct response so that we will know his presence and know him in these times. Joshua 1:9 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. And you feel like, ugh, you know, easier said than done. But then he gets very specific. Do not be discouraged. Why? Because the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Do you dare to take that thought on as your own, replacing discouragement with the empowerment of his being with you wherever you go? Number two, are you struggling with an ongoing sin, perhaps an addiction, food, alcohol? Have you given up hope of ever changing? Have you given in to the despair of feeling defeated by it? And yet Scripture says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. The weapons have the divine power, not yours, divine power to demolish strongholds. Can you find it within yourself to discard that toxic thought? Or at least set it on the shelf just for a minute while you ask the Lord to help you embrace his truth. Trying on these new thoughts, daring to believe they might be true, ask yourself, if he really is speaking directly to me in this mess that I'm in, is it possible that I can overcome this by taking these toxic thoughts captive and replacing them with the new thoughts that actually believe what he's telling me? Number three, do you think you're unlovable? God's word says, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's Romans 8:38 and 39. Dear friend, the God of the universe loves you. Please consider taking that thought on as your own. Isaiah 43:1 says, do not fear. I have redeemed you. I have summoned you. You are mine. You are his. Number four, are you hanging on to your sinful past? Your past is a circumstance. There is nothing you can do to change it. But you can absolutely, absolutely choose to think about it differently going forward. I mean, imagine, what if the Apostle Paul had hung on to his brutal past? Condemning, even killing Christians was Paul's primary purpose before meeting the risen Jesus on the road to Damascus. Paul could have spent the rest of his days dismissing the Lord's forgiveness and new direction for his life based solely on the fact that he was such a sinner in the past. Had he done that? Like, who knows how differently the early church would have looked? Dare to think on these things. God has a plan for your life. If you drown out that plan with your own thoughts, you rob him and yourself of all that is possible. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and hope." Here's a biggie. Number 5, are you worried, anxious, or afraid? John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." All right, I lied. There's 6. Do you think you're unworthy? I mean, friends, Jesus died, came to this world. I mean, think about it. Everything we've talked about in the past, as a child, went through everything we go through, died the most brutal death, because you're so worth it. You are so worth it. Sometimes I feel like John 3:16 just becomes too familiar. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." I mean, you may have never heard those passages before, and you may have heard or read those passages hundreds of times. You may have even memorized some of them. But knowledge, it's useless, dear friend. I mean, unless we allow that knowledge to transform our thinking. Are you allowing it to sink in? Are you allowing it to just dwell within you that we really do have the capacity to change our thinking? I'm gonna make a very strong statement here, though I do not intend for it to be offensive. Dear friends, if you are insistent on hanging on to those toxic thoughts that you are unworthy, that you can never overcome, if you're committed to being discouraged, you're literally calling the Lord a liar. You're telling him it's not possible to move from where you are. I mean, just sit with that for a minute. We cannot look at the examples above where he so wants us to know how much he loves us, how valuable we are, how much he wants to intervene and help us, and still cling to those thoughts that keep us stuck. We blame our past. We blame others. Blame our circumstances. When we hold on to these destructive thoughts, we diminish his love and forgiveness. The two simply cannot coexist. So I challenge you, I implore with you, take this moment to decide. Please, please do not let this be one more message that goes in one ear and out of the other where you say, "Yep, that's a good reminder." No, this is change time. This is game time. James says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in all that they do." Please don't hear this as an admonition. This is an encouragement. I want you to take your life back. Take hold, get a grip, know in the depths of your being which thoughts are not serving you, that are holding you in that place that you so desperately want to get out of, and replace them. Replace them with the truth. It's totally your call. I mean, if you need to, go put on the Frozen soundtrack. Listen to it 100 times if you need to. Let it go. Let it go. Friends, we really do have the opportunity Always. It's always available to us to recreate ourselves by choosing new thoughts with the power of God, with the power of God's word. Thoughts that dwell on who God says we are instead of these awful stories we create in our own minds. So before we wrap up, let's just talk about our thoughts about others. It's the same and it's different. So all of those scripture passages that we looked at, yes, they are written for you. And you. And you. And every other man, woman, and child on the planet, past, present, and future. They are written for those who have dedicated their lives to the Lord, perhaps even in full-time ministry. And they are even written for that mass shooter whose horrific crimes leave us breathless, speechless. Are you aware that the atrocious murderer, Jeffrey Dahmer, he gave his life to Jesus Christ while in prison? By all accounts, it was sincere. It was true. He repented for all he had done. He felt great remorse before the Lord. So I'm curious, what are your thoughts about that? I mean, there are those who would say, can't be true. It's not real. Honestly, it doesn't matter what we think. God knows that's really all that matters. But many others would say, sorry, that's just not fair. He should never get to spend eternity in heaven after his brutality. Yet, God does not appear to have a sliding scale on sin. I mean, again, we look at the life of Paul. I mean, he literally was out to destroy Christianity and kill believers in Jesus. I think God uses these examples to remind us he is God, we are not. We've been called to love one another as he has loved us. I'm in no way suggesting that we just tolerate sinful behavior and not call it out. God is a just God. He very clearly detests sin while he loves the sinner. And I recognize we're humans. We're not God. That's a challenge. But in honestly, in many cases, I feel like the church has gone so far in the direction of accepting sin, of trying to just tolerate it all, that we've actually lost clarity of God's design for our lives and how he wants us to live them out. But we will get more into that in the next episode when we discuss what we think about our culture, which is going to be very interesting. Hope you tune in for that. So what is your matrix for other people? If you ever took a computer programming class, you know that every bit of coding begins with a chart that looks like if this, then that. Is that how you approach your relationships and your view of others? For instance, if you do this, then you deserve my love and attention. If you do that, then you're going to receive the silent treatment as I try to get you to do what I want you to do. When you're indignant or angry with someone, yes, it happens to all of us. What does that look like? How do you claw your way out of that? Can you try on a different thought? At least consider that the other person might have genuinely made a mistake or is under a lot of pressure. You get to choose what you think. Just remember, whatever you choose will lead to a result. Just make sure the choice leads you to the result that you really want. I would encourage you to examine. I mean, like really write down, just generally or specifically, it's up to you. So it can look you back in the face. What are you thinking about the other people in your life, those that are closest to you? Or those who have hurt you? Are you obsessing over the person who caused you so much pain in your life? Chances are they've moved on. They don't even give it much thought anymore. You're only holding yourself captive. Can you consider forgiving that person? Not because they asked for it, or maybe not because they even deserve it, but rather to free yourself from the pain. Can you objectively look at all you've been forgiven of in Christ and extend that same forgiveness to others? Are you focused on what others have that you do not? There's freedom in gratitude. In fact, it is humanly impossible to experience jealousy and gratitude at the same time. Trust me, gratitude feels so much better. It is healing. Are you trying to control things that are not yours to control? This includes other people. Yes, even your spouse. When you are tempted to control, aka sometimes manipulate others, simply remember, you're in charge of you. They're in charge of themselves. There is no manual for them to have to behave a certain way, nor do they get to have one for you. I am not suggesting that there aren't natural consequences for behavior, good or bad. I'm simply saying the only person's behavior we control is our own. All right. Thank you for putting up with my soapbox. As I step down, I want to first thank you for hanging in there and listening. Guys, this is the hard part that we've talked about in the past. There's no other way to say these things than to speak them directly. That is the role of a coach, to get you out of your comfort zone, which ironically is truly uncomfortable. You're not happy there in many places. And yet we create this illusion of comfort because it's too hard to change. A good coach is going to move you toward the abundant life that God longs for you to have. Just a reminder, I am not talking about positive thinking, self-help. There's plenty of that out there. I'm not even talking about willpower to change something. Willpower is finite. It eventually runs out. What I'm talking about is taking hold of God's word in such a way that it transforms your thought life, because your thought life will transform your true life. As you head into next week, I want to encourage you to catch those thoughts. Catch them midstream. Take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. You will be astounded when you see him make his presence known like never before. Next, we will wrap up the series. As I said, what do you think about our culture? But until then, peace and grace to you, my friends. May you find joy in the journey. Hey, if you like what you're hearing on this podcast, come visit me at www.janiburkcoaching.com. That's JaniBurkCoaching.com. Here's the thing, my friends. Information is great, but application is where real change happens. So schedule a free consultation with me to determine if Christian life coaching is right for you. If you are listening to the audio version, just head on over to that website. If you are watching this on YouTube, feel free to use the QR code that is showing on your screen right now. Look forward to talking to you soon.